We're going to learn Daf Mem Tes in Masechtas Ksubos. We're actually going to start from the right at the top, right at the beginning of the Amud. However, we just have to go back and review a little bit on the bottom of Mem Ches Amud Beis, just to sort of give a run up into what we're going on. So the Gemara on the bottom of Mem Ches Amud Beis told us what Rav Ami Bar Choma told us. He told us that once you are mosar the girl over to the shluchei habal, once she's already in the kind of the jurisdiction of the husband, even though she hasn't done chuppah yet, she is engaged. Obviously, there's an engagement over here, so there's a connection. She's engaged, but they haven't done chuppah yet. That's already considered enough of a mesira. Okay? So, and then, right, that's considered enough of a mesira that she no longer has the chiyuv of skila, specifically, because we'll see later the Gemara is going to discuss that. It's now a chiyuv of chenek, meaning the special halacha that applies to naira murasa, that special halacha ends, obviously, by chuppah, because now she's not murasa anymore, she's married, but the chiddush is that even the mesira to the shluchei habal, to somebody who's representing the husband, obviously to the husband is not a problem, but even shluchei habal, that's already considered a mesira over to the next story of her life. So she no longer fits in the parsha of Naim Arasa. The punishment in that case, if she is mezana, would not be skila. Rather, the punishment would be chenek. So now the Gemara asks. Now right, that takes us right to the top of Memtes Amud Aleph. And we'll learn Rashi's pshat. Rashi learns the ema hechda haja lebei nasa haja the milsa kamaisa. So the way Rashi learns is that this is sort of, it's connected, but it's more of a random question. And the question is as follows. Since she really, realistically did not have chuppah yet, I understand that, that she was connected now to the husband with mesira to the shluchei habal. But the question is, if she now goes, let's say it doesn't work out, he dies or they get divorced at that point, and she goes back into her father's jurisdiction, does she return back to her father's jurisdiction as if nothing happened? Again, we understand clearly that if there was an actual chuppah, then she's really completely removed out of the father's rishos, and even if she goes back, she's not going to go back. She can never be that same Naira Murasa as she was before. But according to But at least in this situation where she hasn't had chuppah yet, she never changed her actual status. It's just a matter of relationship at this point. Maybe then she should go back into her father's rishos and be and. Okay, so the nafkamina would be, just to be clear here, it's very interesting if you think it through, the nafkamina would be she goes back into her father's rishos and then she gets engaged to somebody else. So now she's quote unquote back in the parsha of Nair Murasa. And if she's mezana at that point, should she get skilo or chenek? That would be the nafkamina of what this Gemara is getting at. So, again, just to read the words again in the Gemara, one second. Ve'ema hechada hodjo levei nasa hodjo lemilsa kamaisa. So let us say that if she does go back to her father's house, again, to emphasize, under these circumstances, in this scenario where all she did so far was the mesira lebal, the mesira, she didn't do chuppah yet, let her, if that doesn't work out, let her go back to the way she was originally, and let's, so to speak, start over again. So Amar Rava, Hahu Kfar Posko. He says, no, Rava says, Hahu Kfar Posko, Tana Tvei Rabbi Yishmol, Tana Tvei Rabbi Yishmol, the Yeshiva Rabbi Yishmol, they already taught us this halacha, that it's not going to happen. The Tana Tvei Rabbi Yishmol, Rabbi Yishmol taught us, V'neder Amona Ugrusha, Kol asher osra al nafsha yakum olel. That's a pasuk that even a neder and the neder of an almana and a grusha, whatever she did, she has to keep for herself. Now, matam aloymer, what is this pasuk teaching us? V'haloy moitzu mechlal av and moitzu mechlal bal. She's already, we know the halacha is that a young girl in her father's house, her father's able to do afaras nedarim. We also know the halacha, where we should know the halacha, that a wife in her husband's house, the husband has the right to be made for the nadar. So that leaves us with, so she left the father's house. If she were to get divorced or made a widow, So she's not in the husband's house either. There's nobody to be made for her nedarim. That should be obvious. So if that's the case, so then what is this pasuk telling us? Of course, if she is an almana or a grusha at this point, she is not in anybody's house. So what would be the pasuk? What would be the point of the pasuk over here? Ella. So the pasuk must be telling us this extra chiddush, our case. Hareisha moser ha'av l'shluchei habal. If the father gave her over to the shliach of the baal, so in other words, into his jurisdiction. Either way, the point is she's now under the husband. And at that point, the husband dies, before chuppah, or they decided to get divorced. So at that point, what is her status? Which one is she? Is she back in her father's house, or is she still under the jurisdiction of her husband? So that's what the pasuk is telling us. Once she leaves her father's rishos, it's considered left. If she's left the father's rishos, shuv ena yochel lehefer, the father is no longer to be made for. And again, obviously the husband, that goes without saying that the husband can't be made for because she's divorced or she's an almana, he's dead. So obviously he's not going to be able to be made for. The chiddush of the pasuk is even mesira alone is enough to remove her from the father's rishos, so you don't need the obvious case of chuppah. Chuppah would for sure work that she's no longer part in the father's rishos, and that is the chiddush of the pasuk. So the same way, so the Gemara's answer is as follows. The same way we see with regard to nedarim, that once she leaves the father's rishos, she's out, and she doesn't come back to the way it always was. We don't ignore what happened. She's out, she doesn't come back. So the same thing over here also, regarding the halacha of nairim urasa, that even if she does go back to the father's house and she gets re-engaged, she's not going to be considered that same status as a Nair Murasa as she was before, and once she's out, she's in a different situation. Amar Rav Papa, Afana Nami Tanina, we also learned this concept that she gets Chenek, because it says, Habal Nair Murasa, if somebody basically lives with a Nair Murasa, when not allowed, the halacha, the special halacha that gets skila has to be, again, she has to be a naira, that means she has to be young, she has to still be a besula, and she has to be at the stage of engaged. Vehi beveis aviha. And she still has to be in her father's house. So, bishlam in naira v'loi begeres. I understand what each one of these things stands for. She has to be a naira under the age of begeres. Get it. Besula v'loi be'ula, can't he, that this is not the first incident. Mu'uras v'loi mesu, I get it. She has to be engaged and not yet married. Beveis aviha, the mu'ute mai. What is this business of being in the father's house? What does that have to do with anything? Lav l'mu'ute masarav l'shluche abal. That must be referring to that she's in the father's house until the Masira. Once you have a Masira, once he hands her over, even over to the Shluchim, the point is she's out of the father's house, then you're already at the next level, and the din of Naim Urasa does not no longer apply. Omer Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchok Afanana Mitanina, we also have another brisa that says like this, Abo al Eishes Ish. Once, if somebody lives with an Eishes, as a married woman, Kivan Shenichnasa L'Rishus Habal L'Nesuin, she went into the husband's Rishus for the purpose of getting married, Aval Pisha Loi Nivala, even if the husband and wife have not yet lived together, Habalah Reizu B'Chenek, you're already at the new level of Chenek. Now, Nichnasa L'Rishus Habal Ba'almo, and we see that this is talking about even in the Rishus of the husband, even before the actual marriage, Shmami, no, we want to make a diyuk like that. So the Gemara says that that's a good proof. Again, we see that it doesn't necessarily mean chuppah because we already eliminated nesuin. Chuppah is nesuin. So what are we talking about? Rishus of the Baal. The Rishus of the Baal means that she's out of the father's jurisdiction, which means the father did mesira. He already handed her over. Once you handed her over, she's already now in a new category, and therefore the regular halachas of Nayim Rosso no longer apply. She doesn't get skila anymore. She'll get the regular din of Eishes Ish, which is the chiyuv of chenek.
I mean, what happened here?
The next Mishnah. So a father is not really chayev to support his child. Again, we'll see later, the Gemara we'll see in a few weeks, is going to discuss a little bit more in detail. This is talking about over the age of 6 years old, maybe. But the point is, really, midaraisa, a father does not have a chiyuv to support his daughter. We'll see in the Gemara why we mention daughter. Zeh midrash dorish Rabbi Loz ben Azariah lefnei chachamim b'karav Yavna. This is the way Rabbi Loz ben Azariah darshened in Karav Yavna. Habanim yirshu, the sons get the yerusha from the father. V'habanas yizoynu, and the daughters have the right to be supported for their food. Ma'abanim en yorshin el acher misas ha'av. So just like the sons only get a Yerusha, but Yerusha by inheritance, by definition, is only after the father died. So to the daughters, even though they're written in the Ksuba, they only have a right to demand, and we only have a chiyuv of supporting them after the father died. But while the father is alive, the basic point of this Mishnah is the father does not have a chiyuv, an obligation, that's the key word over here, does not have an obligation to support his daughters. Okay, so first let's be medayik with the difference between daughters versus sons. It sounds like from the Mishnah that the daughter, he has no obligation to support his daughter. But the simple diik would then be, if we're talking about the sons, because it doesn't say children, it says specifically daughters. So if the sons, l'chayra, do have a chiyuv. So the Gemara, says, if that's true, bitoy nami chayvahu deleka. You're right. By the daughters, in the case of the daughters, you don't have an obligation. Ha mitzvah ikka. But there is a mitzvah, this is something that we encourage, this is something that it's the right thing to do, that a person should support his daughters as well. Okay, so that's the statement. So at this point, the Gemara believes the understanding, the interpretation of the Mishnah is that on the sons there is a chiv, and on the daughters there is a mitzvah. Okay, the problem is money must nisen. So if that's pshat in our Mishnah, it doesn't work out. Loi Rabbi Meir, v'loi Rabbi Yehuda, v'loi Rabbi Yochanan ben Baraika. It doesn't fit in like any of the shitas that talk about what a father's obligation to support his children is. Okay, so now we're going to go through each shita, and the Gemara is going to explain what the problem with each one is. The Tanya we learned in the Braisa. Mitzvah, again, remember the key words here are mitzvah versus chayva. Is it a mitzvah to do it? Is it the right thing to do it? Or is it a chayva as an obligation? Okay, so here we go. The Tanya we learned in the Braisa. Mitzvah lozones habonois. It is a mitzvah to support the daughter. So far, so good. Kavachaymer lebonim. And a kavachaymer that the sons also, there is a mitzvah to support them. The Aski v'tayra. Divrei Rameir Shita is that the sons also you should support because they're Isaac and Torah. But again, the key here is that it's only a mitzvah. The next Shita is Rabbi Yehuda, Imer, mitzvah lozon is habonim. Rabbi Yehuda switches it around a little bit. He said, actually, the mitzvah, again, using the word mitzvah, starts with the sons, v'kal v'chaymer lebonois, and actually, based on that, you have to mitzvah for the daughters as well, mishum zilusa, because it's not appropriate to have the daughters going around and asking for food. Okay, so once again, both according to Rabbi Meir Shita and Rabbi Yehuda Shita, whichever way you start from, but the point is, everybody's only on the level of mitzvah. There is no obligation. It's only a mitzvah. Again, the difference might be between them, who, if there's not enough money, who do you support first? Okay. Rabbi Yochanan ben Baraika, Omer, Rabbi Yochanan ben Baraika is a whole new shita. He says, Chayva lo zunas habanim. He does say, okay, he gets this part right. You have an obligation to support the sons, la'achar misas avim. But that's only true after the father dies. Ava b'chaya avim. But while the father was alive, elu ve'elu einon nizoinim, they have no obligation or even a mitzvah for that matter at this point. Okay, so according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Baraika, you don't even have obligation, there's no requirement, there's no suggestion even, so to speak, to support the sons or the daughters. So, this doesn't work like our Mishnah. Again, if we assume that interpretation of our Mishnah is that the girls have a mitzvah, but on the boys is a chiv. So if that's the interpretation of our Mishnah, manim asnisen. Reb Meir, if you're following like Reb Meir, that says that there was a chiv on, there was a mitzvah on the daughters, and also a mitzvah on the sons, ha'amar bonim mitzvah. He says there's only a mitzvah, not a chiv on the sons. Reb Yehuda, ha'amar bonim nami mitzvah. According to Reb Yehuda also, he says even the sons them starts as a mitzvah and not an obligation. So that doesn't work. Reb Yochanan ben Baraika, and if you're following Rabbi Yochanan ben Afilu mitzvah nami leka, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Baraika, you have no compunction whatsoever. You don't even have a mitzvah, and certainly you don't have an obligation. So our Mishnah, according to this interpretation, doesn't work according to any mandi omar. So the Gemara answers: Ibai Yisaymi Reb Meir, Ibai Yisaymi Reb Yehuda, Ibai Yisaymi Reb Yochanan ben Baraika. We can make the Mishnah actually work according to each one of them. You just have to word the Mishnah correctly in order to fit it in to the various shitas. Okay, so let's start one by one. How does it work? We could say that it fits like Reb Meir's shita. Again, Reb Meir was the one who said that the daughters have a mitzvah and the sons also. And the way to read the Mishnah is like this. The father does not have an obligation to support the daughter. And he doesn't have an obligation to support the son. But there is a mitzvah by the daughter. And this kol shekein, the sons also, you have a mitzvah. Okay, so in other words, you made a diak in the Mishnah. Your diak in the Mishnah was that the daughters have a mitzvah, don't have an obligation, so therefore, but it must be the sons do have an obligation. What the Gemara is correcting over here is saying is that's not the proper diak to make. Rather, what we made to say is the daughters don't have a chiyuv, they do have a mitzvah, and therefore also the sons have a mitzvah. Ah, v'hodik tani bitoi. So why did the Mishnah, so to speak, emphasize the word daughter if the truth of the matter is both daughters and sons only have a mitzvah? Hakamash Malon. So this teaches us now on the top of Mentes Amid Beis. This teaches us that Afilu Bitoi Chayvahu Deleka HaMitzvah Ika. The point is, the reason why we're discussing the daughters is because we want to emphasize that even the daughters are only on the level of mitzvah. And there is no chiyuv even for the daughters, because you would think that the daughters, you know, you have to take care of them, according to at least Reb Meir Shita, the way he sees things. So that's why the Mishnah emphasizes that even the daughters is only a mitzvah. But of course, now that we know that the daughters are a mitzvah, you could make that kal v'chomer to say that the sons also are only a mitzvah. But again, there is no diuk over here that, there is a chiyuv to the sons. That's the way to learn it according to Reb Meir. Iba yisayim a Reb Yehuda. Or we could learn the Mishnah is the way Reb Yehuda learns. So similar type of pshat. Again, it does say that in the Mishnah, that the father does not have an obligation to his daughter. And therefore, kol shekein, you don't have to, you have no chiyuv to support the sons. That's the first diuk of the Mishnah. Again, the diuk you made was the daughter doesn't have, but the son does. That's not a correct diuk. Rather, the diuk is there's no chiyuv to the daughters, and therefore also to the sons. There is no chiyuv. But hamitzvah bibenoi. But you're saying that there's no chiyuv by the sons, but that's not 100% true, because there is still a mitzvah by the son. And now that we know that the son has a mitzvah, kal v'chomer libanos, then kal v'chomer to the daughters also that there is a mitzvah. Now, according to the way Rabbi Yehuda's learning, there really seems to be a much stronger emphasis on the sons. So then, why does the Mishnah talk about the daughter? Really, we should be emphasizing the lack of chiyuv on the sons. Hakamash malon da'afilu bitoi chayva leka. Once again, the reason why we have to say this is because if we're going to say that the sons are only a mitzvah, we don't want that to be, if we talked about the sons, we would misinterpret and think, oh, the sons are only a mitzvah, but the daughters are a chayva. So that's why the Mishnah points out the biggest chiddush, that the daughters are, even the daughters don't have a chiyuv. Okay, they have a mitzvah. They only have a mitzvah though because the sons have a mitzvah. That's the way Rabbi Yehuda learns. But again, it does fit into the Mishnah if you learn it like that. According to Rabbi Yochanan ben Baraika, this is going to be the hard one. Because he held there was no chiv, there was no mitzvah at all. So we have to understand the Mishnah as follows. And the way to read the Mishnah is like this. To support her, and also the son also, you don't have a chiv on the sons. Again, sons and daughters are the same. And the truth of the matter is, it's not only a chiv that you don't have, you don't even have a mitzvah to support both the sons and the daughters. But because we're focused on the second half of the Mishnah, which is that after the father dies, that's when the chiyuv kicks in. That's why the beginning of the Mishnah starts off with saying, but the father while he's alive is not chayev. So the diuk here and the emphasis of the Mishnah is on the daughter, because that's the biggest change. Because while the father is alive, really the chiddush is that there's no chiyuv whatsoever. But the chiddush is on the daughter, there's no chiyuv. Because even as it is, that there is a chiyuv to the daughter, that chiyuv only starts la'achar misa, which is what the second half of the Mishnah learns. And that's why Rabbi Yochanan ben Breka understands as follows, that that's the point. That after misa, that's when the chiyuv starts. So the beginning of the Mishnah has to say, oh, but when he's alive, there is no chiyuv. Now the truth of the matter is, when he's alive, there was nothing. There was no mitzvah either. But we're only talking about the chiyuv because the end of the Mishnah is going to talk about what chiyuv there will be later. So it comes out that even according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Breika, the Mishnah makes perfect sense that really there's no chiyuv. What's again, while the father is alive, there is no chiyuv, there is no mitzvah whatsoever. After the death, that's when the first time we can start talking about chiyuvim, and that applies to the daughter. Now the sons, we don't have to talk about a chiyuv because A, there can't be a chiyuv when somebody's dead. And second of all, the sons are going to yarshim. So you don't have to support them if they're getting the whole inheritance. Okay, comes along the next halacha in the Gemara, which is also a very interesting halacha. Amar Rabbi Eloi, Amar Reish Lokesh, Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Bar Chanino. Rabbi Eloi said in the name of Rabbi Chanino, through Reish Lokesh, Ba'usha Eskinoi. So even after we start, until now we've been saying that there's no chiv to support your children whatsoever. Or whatever, maybe a mitzvah, and so on and so forth. Finally, the bottom line is like this: Beusha eskinu shehe adam zones banov es benoisav kishehen kitanim. And they made a takana. Chazal made a takana. Even though there's no chiv, Chazal made a takana that one should support their children while they are kitanim. The way Rashi learns kitana means while they are under bar mitzvah, under bar or bar smitzvah. That now you do have a takanas chazal that one is chayev to support their children. Well, again, using the word chayev is a little strong, but that one should support their children until at least bar mitzvah. So that's what Rabbi Eloi says, and we have to know, is that really okay? He makes this as a statement. The question is, do we paskin like that or not? Now, it's interesting. If the Gemara would just say this as a statement that in Usha this is the halacha, then that, you know, this is what Chazal said, that it would apply to everybody. But because it's being quoted from Rabbi Law, and we don't know whether this is Rabbi Law he obviously had a Kabbalah from someplace, but is this really, so to speak, the Messiah from everybody or not? We need to know, do we paskin like this? So we'll see what the maskana of the Gemara is. But first, Toshima, let's bring a riot. Kiaba also the Kameh de Rabbi Yehuda, Omar Lohu. So Rabbi Yehuda, when somebody would come to Rabbi Yehuda and say that he doesn't want to support his children, Rabbi Yehuda would say to the person as follows, Yaroid Yaldo Vavne Moso Shadyo. A yaroid is, Rashi says tanin, which is a snake, but I know that art school translates it as a jackal. It's a type of animal that really abandons its children. So, and the translation is that this animal abandons its children, and it becomes the city's problem. The tzedakah have to support this child. So anyway, so he's putting in a very derogatory way that says, oh, you don't want your children. Okay, so in other words, he would encourage the person to support their children because this is really does not reflect well on somebody who doesn't want to support their children. Similarly, if you have also the comment of Rav Chista, if this story came to Rav Chista, a father didn't want to support, Amalahu, he would say, Kafule Asisa Bitsibura, turn over, and Asisa is a metal bucket or something, a big bucket that they would, a mortar that they would pound things in, turn that over in the middle of the public, the lakum, and stand on it, velema, and say the following, urva boi bonea, even an orev, a crow, takes care of his children, vahu gavra loi boi bonea, and this person doesn't want to take care of his children. So we're going to publicly humiliate them, which is very interesting that the Gemara takes such a strong stance on this. Because even though there's no chiv, these gedolim were willing to embarrass somebody or pressure them. I don't know if embarrass is the right word over here, but certainly put pressure on them, public pressure even, to get it, to make sure that they do these things correctly. Either you compare them to, again, translation is a jackal or a crow, which are again not nice animals, and you're saying even these lowly animals are willing to take care of their children and this guy's not. However, the Gemara has a technical question, v'orva boi bonea, is it true that a crow really wants to take care of its children, v'aksiv, the pasuk itself says, l'vnei orev asher yikru, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of the children of the orev,
because they called him, meaning that the children are not taken care of, and therefore Hashem has to take care of them directly. So we see that they don't take care of the children. So the Gemara answers like Kasha Haba Chivri Haba Uchmi. It depends on whether they're white or they're black. So apparently what happens is that, I don't know if this is true by all the crows, but at least by some of them, when they're originally born, their feathers are white. And then eventually they turn black. So once they turn black, then the parents, so to speak, recognize them, and the parents then take care of them. But while they are white, while their feathers are still white, the parents don't really relate to them and don't take care of them. So when the pasuk is talking about while they're white, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to take care of them. But once they turn black, so then Anachanami, even the Arev takes care of their children while they're still young, by the way. The children are not yet capable of taking care of themselves. The parents need to take care of them. But the point is that they eventually do, even the Arev takes care of their own children. So Kihave also the Kame de Rova, similar story when something like this came to Rova, Amale, he would say to them, Nichola the Mitzana Benoisech the Mitzani Banecha Mitzadaka, do you want your children to collect tzedakah? Okay? So in other words, again he would pressure the person like with just like this derogatory comment. What do you want? You want tzedakah to take care of them? That's what you want? So again, Rava also didn't tolerate the fact that a parent didn't want to take care of the child. However, all of this veloya mara and this whole business of sort of just pressuring them and not absolutely forcing them, Ella Deloyaman is talking about somebody who's not wealthy. So if they're not wealthy and they really don't have what to do, so then it's a matter of pressure that we should take care of them. That a parent should be the first line of defense, that the parent should take care of the child. Abel Omid, but if the person is actually wealthy, kafinun le al karche, then we literally force them. Then we don't even ask them for their opinion. We don't even pressure. We just go in and we take care of it. Kiha de Rava, like a similar story to Rava did, kafye le Rav Nosin bar Ami, v'afek minei dalet me'azuzi le tzedakah, that he forced Rav Nosin to donate $400 for tzedakah, which is a lot of money. 400 zuz is a lot of money. So the point is, now I don't know whether Rav Nosson was necessarily in the context of his own children, doesn't say, but the point is that Rava was able, he was wealthy, and he had the money, and he had the wherewithal to make this payment, so that he was able to pressure, that he was able to force him to give the money. So the same thing is true also, as Rashi explains, that when you're dealing with a wealthy person, you say to them, even if it's not your child, you have a chiyuv tzedakah. So I'm not going to tolerate this business that you're not interested in supporting them. That's not the way it works. You have a chiyuv at a minimum to support them out of tzedakah, and certainly at your own children. As we said before, that was Rabbi Loy that said this before. He was the one who quoted it. So we see, by the way, we see this takana that Rabbi Loy said was that they should support their children. Lemaskana, or at this point of the Gemara, we can't force the parents to support their children. We can highly recommend, okay, even to the point where we can publicly discuss this, which is a pretty, you know, that's considered a pretty high pressure to do it. But we can't force them. We can't go in. I mean, unless the person is wealthy, as the Gemara just said, we cannot go in and take control of their bank account and force them to support their children. So, Amar Rabbah, now another statement. Amar Shlokesh Be'usha Eskinu. So we have another very interesting halacha that he said. They also were Masakin as follows. A Kosev Kol Nechosev Levanov. Somebody who writes, a father, for whatever reason, decides that he wants to give all his property over to his child. Hu v'ishta nizoyne mehen. The parents can continue to live off that property, even though he deeded it, even though he transferred it over to the child when the father is alive. Even though he said, as of today, this property is yours, the parents still can continue to benefit from that property. Even though technically, halachically, this is not a Yerusha issue, this is he gave it to them, still the parents are able to eat from it. Maskifla Rav Zeira, but Rav Zeira asks, V'yitemer Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni. So he says, Gedoyla Mizu Amr, they actually said more than that. Almanasai Nizoynis Menachosov, who v'ishta mi boy? If you have an almana, okay, so here's the case. The case is, It's a little bit of a complicated case you have to see in Rashi, but the way the case is as follows. A father dies and he only has a daughter. So he gives the daughter, Yerusha, okay, which is fine because she's the only daughter, so she's entitled to it. This daughter gets married. So when she gets married, the halacha is that the husband takes the property. So the issue here is, now that it belongs to the husband, it so to speak belongs to a third party. And the halacha, so there's a whole issue in the din. The Gemara over here doesn't get into the details. There's other Gemaras that discuss whether it's considered a whether he's considered the status of a lekeach or he's considered the status of a yoyrish. And that makes, that label makes a difference as to whether or not the chiv is shibudin. If it's a yerusha, then he gets to keep it for himself. If he's a lekeach, then he's meshubid to other obligations. So the chiddush over here is, amana nizoinus minuchosov. So we say that if the guy gave his daughter the property, and now the husband takes it, the husband is still going to be considered like a lekeach, and therefore meshubed to the girl's mother, to support the girl's mother. Even though, remember, the girl's already handed the property over to her husband, who's, so to speak, a third party, he is still, obligated to support the mother, his mother-in-law. So we see that, yeah, just because he gave away the property still goes back to the original chiyuvim. So huva ishta mi boi. So it should be obvious that if a father gives over his property while he's still alive and he needs the property to live on, that the parents should still be allowed to live there. So what would be the chiddush? Again, in the other case, he already actually gave it away. He died. His daughter yarshened it and gave it to her husband. It's already three parties removed. And still he has a chiyuv to support his mother-in-law. So certainly the child has a chiyuv to support his children. His child has a chiyuv to support his parents. The sholach. Okay, so of course he has the support of the father and the wife. The Shalach Rabin Begrisa, because Rabin sent in a letter, Misha Meis, the Heniach Almana Ubas. Okay, so this is the case that we're talking about. Somebody died, and he has left in his family his widow and a daughter. Almanasa Nizoinus Minachosov. So obviously the Almana continues to live on his property. That's easy because it's his Almana and the money is still there in the estate. However, Niseis Habas, if the daughter gets married, this is what I was saying before, now she gets married and there's a husband involved. Almanasa Nizoinus Minachosov. Oh, so the mother still gets the mother-in-law now, still gets to continue to eat from that property, even though the property, so to speak, goes over to the new husband. Mesa Habas, now that's talking about where she just got married. Fine, she gets married, the husband is still there, the mother-in-law still has dibs on the property. But now that the daughter dies, now at this point, when the daughter dies, now you're taking it to a new level, because we know the halacha is, even midaraisa, that a husband yarshins his wife. And now this property really technically 100% belongs to the husband. It's not like sitting in the estate anymore, it belongs to the husband. Amar Rabbi Yehuda ben Achoisoi shel Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina, al yodei have a maisa. This story exactly happened to me, where a guy, he had a daughter, he gave the rusha to the daughter, then the daughter herself died, and then now the property belongs to the husband, but there's still a mother-in-law, an almana that's involved over here. The Amru, and they said, okay, so this story happened, and they said, Almanosoi nezoinois mi nechosov. And we said that the mother-in-law gets to still eat, even though the daughter died and the property halakhically went to the husband, still the mother has a right and first dibs on that property. So again, if that's the halakha, huva ishta mi boi, so again, back to the original question, so of course, if a father transfers his property over to his child, the child still has an obligation, even though again, technically, halakhically, it belongs to him, but the child still has an obligation to support the parents. Okay, so if that's the case, what's the chiddush of Rabbi Loi? For sure, we should be able to figure out that the child has an obligation to support the parents from their own property. So the Gemara says like this: Ma'atatema, I would have thought Hasam hu deleka de tarach. There, in the case where the daughter and the mother were alive, and eventually the daughter dies, the fact that we're supporting the almana over there, I understand, because if you don't allow the mother-in-law to eat from that property, she's literally going to be on the street. She has no way. Again, especially in the old society where women didn't work, she has no way of supporting herself. So, if not for the son-in-law, or the ex-son-in-law supporting her, she would be nothing doing. Aval Hocha, the chiddush over here is like this. Aval Hocha, but in this case, where the father is still alive, Nidrach Ledida, Ledida, let him, okay, fine, he gave away his property, so he'll start over again. You know, people do that. These entrepreneurs, they do one business, they sell it, then they start over another thing or whatever they do, right? So here, the father is still alive. Maybe there's a Hava Mina that when he gave it over to his son, he really was transferring it over to the son. Kamash Malan, that's the Chiddush. That's Rabbi Loi's Chiddush, that even when the father transferred it over to the son, he didn't mean to transfer it over entirely in a way that the father can't touch it. Now the Gemara asks a very critical question. Iboilahu. So that's Rabbi Loi's halacha, that the child does have to support his parents. However, Hilchasokavasei or less Hilchasokavasei? Do we actually paskin that way? Now notice, the first thing that we brought from Rabbi Loi, we actually did not paskin like Rabbi Loi, that the father did not have a chiyuv to support his children. It was only a recommendation. Now we have this next case where he gives away the property. Does the son have to support his parents or not? So Toshima, the Gemara brings a riot. Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Yochanan Havikaimo, they were once standing someplace. Also, who Gavro, this person came, Gochin Vinoshke Lirabi Yoinusin. Akari. And the guy came over again. It was Rabbi Yonason and Rabbi Chanina were standing together, and this guy came over and he started kissing the knees or the legs of Rabbi Yonason. Omar le Rabbi Chanina, my high. So Rabbi Chanina says, oh, what is this adulation over here? Why is he all of a sudden coming over to you? Omar le, Koyusev Nechosev Levenayhu. I'll tell you, this guy was this scenario. This guy had once written over all his property over to his son. Okay, we're just going to continue for a couple lines on the top of Nunamad Aleph. On the top of Nunamad Aleph, it says, "Vashtinu liznei," and I forced that son to support his father. Again, that's exactly the issue over here. The father wrote over the company to the son, and Rav Yonason forced the son to give it over to him. Now, Iam Rav Shloima Lavdina, if the halach is not like Rabbi Loi, that there isn't a chiv in the first place, Mishum Hachi Ashinu. That's why Rabbi Yonason had to force him. Meaning, I had to go behind his back and tell him, you better or else. Because the halach is that he doesn't have a chiv. And therefore, so we see we don't paskin like Rabbi Loi. But if the halacha was like a Rabbi Loi, that it would be an absolute chiyuv, ashinu boy, you would have to force him, you would just go to Besin, and Besin would paskin, that he gets the money, and that would be the end of that. It wouldn't be such a big deal. The fact that he had this adoration for Rabbi Yonason was because Rabbi Yonason went over and above, beyond the need for what's required. And he arranged that the father should be supported. That's why the father had so much hakaras hatayif to him. So we see lemaskanas hagemara, which is really fascinating here, is that lahalocha, the son does not have a chiyuv to support the parents. If the parents write over their property to their child, the children halachically do not have a chiyuv. Now this happens, by the way. If you think this doesn't happen, this happens. I shouldn't say all the time, but it happens. It definitely happens where, for example, you know, the parents are doing estate planning, as I'm sure, Ivan, you can relate to. They're doing estate planning. So they put everything in a trust, and they make the children the trustees. And now the children control the property. And this could include even a house or something. And now the question is, do the children have a chiv to give it back and let the parents use it and so on and so forth? Not necessarily. Okay, if it's written, so we're going to stop with the Gemara over here. But the interesting, I just want to finish off with one last point. So it comes out that according to this, we do not paskin like Rabbi Loi, and you do not have a chiyuv to support the parents once you transfer the property over to the children. However, there's an interesting machlokes rishonim, which I'll just finish with this, that the question is, if the father was the one who wrote over the property to the son, let's say, the Gemara is talking about the father and the wife. So the way Rashi learns and some Rishonim learn, that means that the parents, neither parents can touch that money anymore, touch that property anymore. However, the Ramban and other Rishonim learn that the father only has a right to give away his own property. He does not have a right to give away the property vis-a-vis the wife. Because he has a chiyuv on his ksuba. So his wife already has a shibud on that property, and if the father hands it over to the son, she still has that shibud. The father never had a right to give that away vis-a-vis her. and therefore she will still have, this is a major machlekes rishonim over here. So she will still be able to be supported by the property, even though the father will not be able to be supported. Whereas according to other rishonim, like Rashi and so on, we'll learn that no, the father gave it away, it's out of his rishus, it's not his property anymore, and they're completely out of it. And we'll stop over here, and we'll pick up from here next time.